Your outer world truthfully reflects your inner world. Your outer world truthfully reflects your inner world. But the question begs to be asked, what do you mean inner world? People, teachers, even psychologists all talk about the mind, then they expand it to beliefs, but if that is your inner world, then you are stuck. Nothing will change the mind, nothing will change beliefs, directly. Also, trying to use the faculties to change themselves is pretty futile. If you look at the quote, unless you change who you are, you will always have what you've got. You'll see that the quote, pretty much, means that there is some faculty that is superior to beliefs or the mind, and that is being. And if you watch some law of attraction people that pretend whatever they say will attract what they want, you will see that on the level of being nothing changed, they are desperate, doubtful, trying, want to, wish to, long to, hungry to. And that being is the opposite of what they want to pretend to be. The connection between being and mind is one way. The being informs the mind, but there is no communication the other way around. Ordinary words don't affect being, at all. Talking, words, that come from the mind won't ever change your being. What will? Action. Actions that can alter your being. Some actions are physical, muscular, outside action. Some actions are inner, and they may not have anything outward to indicate that there was any action. Commitment, declaration, promises, requests are actions that use words, but the words come from a place other than the mind. When I speak, you may be able to hear that I don't speak from the mind. Identifying/defining it versus distinguishing it. On the other hand, if you have never seen something, never heard something, you may not be able to identify it. Only distinguish it. Distinguishing is a concentration of the not that, i.e. exclude what it isn't. Often test, like in medicine, to make sure it is not included, that you can safely exclude it instead of what the mind does, deciding on what it is based on insufficient data the mind has. Until you can grok distinguishing, meaning to have or to have acquired an intuitive understanding of, to know without having to think. Said in another way, to fully and completely understanding something in all its details and intricacies. Until you can grok distinguishing, we are not able to communicate, you and I. I will say something, and you'll hear it with the mind. You'll know what I said. But I probably didn't say that. It was the mind jumping into conclusions. Everything I say needs work, needs inquiry, and needs you to disqualify the mind as the judge. If you know yourself as smart, if you have earned your living by knowing, you'll have a harder time than other people who have had a difficulty with smarts, or with learning. Everything I say is useless when it is heard through the mind. So, how do you train yourself to hear something and refuse to be seduced by the mind, the know-it-all part of you? Or alternatively, how do you train yourself to hear something that you don't understand? It is a frequent issue for the know-it-all mind. The job is to hear and not jump. The job is to hear and not understand. When you are able to do that, the other parts of the brain, the other faculties of the brain will have a chance to do some work on what you heard. Your real smarts live outside of the mind. All understanding is mind. Grokking it is a code word for getting it through faculties that are not traditionally deemed as organs of communication, but they are. Much like seeing, we have completely abandoned organs of perception in favor of the eyes, because the eyes are so intimately connected to the mind. But you see and perceive things through several layers, several organs of perception. You don't have to be an empath to feel, you don't have to be a clairsenser to sense, you don't have to be a clairvoyant to see beyond the obvious. You only need to discount the five senses, interpreted by the mind, as the only gates of perception. Why are these things important? Because those other senses directly communicate to your being. Would blindfolding you, or deafening you work? I had a client once who earned a living as a massage therapist. She was blind and deaf. In some areas, like when she was massaging, she was looking with those other organs. But when it came to something that can be seen, even though she couldn't see, she was coming from the mind, and refused to see. So I saw that the answer is no. As the quote above says, unless you change who you are, you will always get what you've gotten. Unless you discount the mind, you'll use the mind as your primary mode of knowing, and your life will suck. And what I say about you can change nothing about you. It is only what you say can. But depending on where you speak from, it either will or it won't. If you speak from the mind, the storehouse of all the stuff you made up, all the stuff you believed, all the stuff you resisted, then your word has no power. No inner authority. No inner power to change anything. In my programs I teach you to look from a different place, from a different direction, so see different, so you say different. In my programs, I teach you to access your personal power to change who you are. So your life, what you have, can change with that. Unless you are in power, your word means little. And you decide. Really. No one can grant you power. Only you can do it for yourself. With great power comes great responsibility. And probably that is why you would shy away from taking on your own power. Many do. Because the moment you are responsible, it feels threatening. You'll be responsible for your results. And you may prefer to complain and play the victim. Or alternatively, your results will show you in the world what you are made of. And it may be nothing. Thin air. Your results may show the world that you are a fake, a fraud, a pretty face with nothing to give. Not even any intention to give. Your results may show the world that you don't care about anyone. And that would be bad. Right? Lol. So if you are not willing to take on your power, you may want to ponder what you are trying to avoid. Being unmasked? Yeah, that is normally the cause. But when we really look, you can use the words you speak with power to change everything about yourself, including the part that you don't want people to see. If every moment has the chance to be the first moment of the rest of your life, if word can create, then there is nothing to fear. If you have access to the power of word, then you can chart your own path, you can mold and shape who you are so you can be the best you can be and live the best life you can. Too many ifs. The crux of the matter is your relationship to word. If your word comes from self-concern, trying to create and maintain an image in the world, if it comes from fear, or desire to receive for the self alone, then likely your integrity is very low. And you may need to attend to integrity first before you can use your word from a powerful place, before you can use your word to create. But if your relationship to word is even just a tad stronger, then you can start using the power of language. To recap what I taught in a recent article, language can be classified as passive, active, or structural. Passive language is what everyone speaks. Talking about. Trying to fit the words to the reality they see. Whether it is accurate or not. We call that descriptive language. Descriptive language is passive in that it claims that what it talks about is already there. 2. Active language is where we have the most to learn. Because active language is what you use to create. The moves inside active language are. Requests, promises, and declaration. All three moves have a function. Promises, for example, have a chance to tell the world and yourself what you are going to do. And if you have low integrity, using promises like a ladder, promises kept, are a way for you to raise your integrity. Of course, only if you use, I promised, as the context. Your why. Requests coupled with promises are a powerful move. You make a deal, you do this for me, and in return I do that for you. The move of a go-getter. And the most difficult of the moves is the declaration. On its face, a declaration is a lodge. It stands on nothing, no proof, no evidence, nothing. It is using word to literally create something that without the declaration it wouldn't be. We'll use declaration to create ourselves. Ourself. The WHO. The WHO in the quote, unless you change WHO you are, you will always have what you've always got. This is what we are working on in the From Intention to Self program. We are at using language to create the self. At this point, most people invented themselves a winner. It is a being. Being a winner. It is not a report card on the number of wins you have. It is a relationship to life, to yourself, to the world. It is probably the most pleasant, maybe even gleeful way to be, being a winner. I have tested it and it felt fantastic. The world will surprise you with giving you unexpected wins. Want to hear what one participant shared after she declared herself a winner? Here. Listen in. Delightful, even just to hear it. I have room for one or two new students in this course. And you may just want to hear the sessions that have passed. Learn to create a new you. In this upcoming course, I attempt to connect you to your being directly, so you can cause change there. Your main job will be to discount the mind. I cannot do that for you, that is a volitional act on your part. I am excited and I am scared. Thus far I've only known one other program that has produced results like I intend to produce with this program. Judging from the early results. This is it.